Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, and I'll be reading chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. That's Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son."
Good morning. It's good to be here. I enjoy coming to Newland Street when I can and seeing some good friends and enjoying the fellowship of many of you here that I've known for a few years. I'm happy to have my mom and dad with me today, and I know they have several friends in this congregation, and so we've been looking forward to being with you today. And hopefully, as we look at this text together, we'll be encouraged when we leave this morning. That's our ultimate goal. I do want to challenge you to put on your thinking cap. I had a math teacher when I was in junior high who said, "Put on your thinking cap." And so those words come to my mind a lot when I I'm studying a text and having some difficulty, or in this case, looking at a text that I think I've misunderstood for many years. And so I wanted to share something with you this morning that hopefully you'll be encouraged by. But first, an exercise. I appreciate the brother reading the text for us. This is going to be our text. If you want to keep your Bible open to Matthew 14, this is going to be the subject of our lesson. Peter walking on water, right? We've heard lessons from Matthew 14 all our lives. If we were going to church as kids, you even had the flannel graph. Remember the flannel board where you stuck Jesus on top of the water and then you stuck Peter on top of the water? And we said, "Look, boys and girls, you know, if you have faith like Peter, you can walk on water with Jesus." I'm not sure that's the point of this text, and so that's what I want us to dig into this morning. So here's the exercise, and this is not an original exercise with me. A college professor will put this up on the board and usually give you like 30 seconds to stare at it and try to memorize as many letters as you can, and then they're going to turn the screen off and see how many of the students could remember. Some students get 5, 6, 7. Nobody gets all of them unless they have some sort of a photographic memory. We're not going to do the exercise this morning, but the point of the exercise is that when the professor turns the screen back on, he then says, "How about this? If I ask you to memorize these letters, and I only gave you 30 seconds to look at them, do you think you would remember more of this slide than the previous slide?" And everybody does. Everybody's able to remember more looking at this slide. But the funny thing is, it's the exact same letters. It's the exact same letters, they're just spaced differently. And so, the point of the exercise that usually that teacher is making in the class and that we want to make this morning is that sometimes we look at the same text. For years, we look at the same text. We hear the same sermon over and over and over again. And in this case, we're talking about Jesus and Peter on the sea from Matthew 14. And growing up, I remember my Sunday school teacher telling me, you know, we're supposed to be like Peter and have faith like Peter. Peter's the one who had the faith to get out of the boat. I think John Ortberg even wrote a book not too long ago titled, If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. That's the title of his book. And I've not read it, but I'm told it's a very good book. Well, but what is the point of this text? And is that the point of this text? Because the way I remember being taught, and I've heard sermons where someone told me that when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he began to sink. So I was looking at this text and I was trying to find the verse, because what a powerful message, right? If you take your eyes off Jesus, you'll begin to sink. But it's not anywhere in there. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say in any parallel text that when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And the reason that's important to me is because it leads us down the wrong road. The implication of saying when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, boys and girls, is he began to sink, implies that Peter was good before that point. That Peter was a man full of faith when he was in the boat. He was a man of faith when he got out of the boat. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. It implies he was okay, when in reality, we're going to look at this text together, Peter was not a man full of faith at any point in this story. So, let's take a quick peek together. Actually, we're just going to stay on this slide. I told the brother in the back, I said I didn't do a complex PowerPoint slide deck this morning. I'm just going to put up a picture of Jesus and this boat scene. But if you look at verse 22, Jesus puts them in the boat. There's a very strong word in that verse that the New King James says made. He made them get in the boat. Some of your translations might say he strongly urged them. But Jesus made them get in the boat. He said, get in the boat. And he pushes them off. And he's going to send away the multitudes before he goes up to pray. In verse 24, we find that the wind and the waves are tossing the boat around, and they're in the middle of the sea. Now, I don't know if all of these men were accustomed to being on a boat, but some of them were fishermen, right? Peter, including, was a fisherman. Verse 25 tells us it's the fourth watch of the night. That means it's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. So if you can imagine a day of following Jesus, and Jesus is teaching the multitudes, they get on the boat, Jesus says, go to the other side. They're trying to get to the other side, but the wind and the waves will not allow them. They're rowing and rowing, and they're not getting anywhere, and they're tired. I don't know how tired you have been, but I'm sure we've all reached that point where we've been so exhausted that the body starts to shut down. You might even, your senses are not even right. Start to see things, or things get a little blurry. Maybe start to hear things a little bit. These men are exhausted. It's between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning, this fourth watch of the night. It's pitch black out there at sea. And they think they see a ghost, don't they? They think they're seeing, do you see what I see? Is there something coming towards us? Is it a ghost? And then that's, of course, when Jesus says, it's me, it is I, do not be afraid. But it says that even these grown men even screamed out. Ah! They don't know what's going on. They don't know what they're seeing, but they're afraid. They're tired. They think they see a ghost until they hear that familiar voice. It is I. It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, in verse 28, and this maybe is a key to this text, He's the one disciple that shows doubt. He's the one disciple that says, if it is you, bid me to come out. If it's you. Now someone might say, well, maybe Peter wasn't showing doubt. Maybe he was just testing Jesus. Well, that's even worse, right? If you are the Son of God, I've heard that from the devil's mouth before. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, right? It is written. I think Peter is doubting. I think Peter has some doubts. In verse 29, Jesus says one word. He says, come. Come on, you want to come out? Come on. He says, come. But who is getting out of the boat but a man who is questioning, if it is you, bid me to come out. It is not a man full of faith. Verse 30 plainly tells us Peter is afraid. And then the text says that he sinks and Jesus saves him. And lest we be just going down the wrong path here, Jesus himself says, Peter, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So we don't have to guess. Jesus has said, Peter, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? That's the if. If it is you, why did you doubt? Now to me, this is a different accounting of what I've always thought. I always went to this text just kind of feeling like Peter was providing an example here. And as long as he was walking on water before he started sinking, Peter was providing a great example to follow. But I think the real message here is keep your hands and feet inside the boat. Keep your hands and feet inside the boat. Stay in the boat that Jesus put you in and trust in His voice when He says, it is I. Do not be afraid. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think of a time in your life, and for some of you, you're not going to have to stretch back very far. You might be going through it right now. A time in your life when you were drenched in darkness and fearful. Maybe there was fear of the unknown. What's going on with my family? What's going on? I've heard there's going to be layoffs. The stock market's crashing. The value of your home's going down. You find out a loved one or yourself might be sick, might have something incurable. You might, this fear is now coming into your life. You're not thinking right. A time in your life when you start going a little crazy. Have you ever had that? You're a stable person. You're not normally like this. You're a stable person. You've got a good head on your shoulders, but you're not thinking right. You think you're seeing ghosts on the water. You think you're hearing voices. And the wind is blowing against you. And it seems like the harder you row in this life, you just aren't making any progress. You're stuck in the middle of that sea. It might be your marriage. It might be some other relationship. It might be family plans or business plans. Your hopes that have been washed away or damaged in some way, at work, at home, in the church. So what does it mean to have faith in life when life gets tough? Because I've heard well-meaning, well-intentioned Christians say to another person who's struggling, you just gotta have faith, brother. Have faith, sister. Well, those are good words. Those are biblical words. But what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? How do I go home and just have faith? I do not believe Jesus called us to have the kind of faith that involves walking on the water. Just have that kind of faith, brother, and you just walk on the water and you just walk right past your fears and the waves and everything will just disappear. That's not how faith works. Jesus isn't teaching us here that when we have problems, if we have enough faith, we can just walk right past them. they'll go away. No, Jesus wants us to have the kind of faith that will weather a storm, because you and I both know we have a prayer list. Faith does not make the problem just disappear. In fact, God seems to be the kind of God that He's going to let us just go through the fire sometimes. Jesus here, I believe, is saying that faith is not about getting out of the boat and walking on water. Trusting in Jesus would have had Peter staying in the boat. Faith is not about walking on water, it's about staying in the boat. And I can just imagine, Jesus getting in the boat. I told you it was me. Will someone get this guy a towel? You know, Peter's over in the corner, wet and shivering. So here's the point of the text that I just wanted to throw it out there for you to think about. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm crazy. But I'm looking at a text. The scenario is such that all of these men are afraid. They're all going through something terrifying. It seems to me consistent with Peter that we call in, fill in the blank, impetuous Peter, right? He's got that open mouth, insert foot kind of thing going on. If it is you, Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But Jesus puts them in a boat. He shoves them off into the sea. He physically separates himself from them. Even though really I think we could say he was not far from them. Jesus did not abandon them. And it is the same for us. Jesus is not physically here. He's at the right hand of God. And yet, at the same time, He is here, right? I walk with the King. I love that song. I haven't sung that song since I was a kid. That's such a great song, the words of that song. He's, in a sense, still here. He's not abandoned us. We cannot see Him. We cannot touch Him. So what do we do? Stay in the boat. And we keep rowing. Because I know that there are brothers and sisters in Christ in this congregation and in every congregation across the globe that are on those rough seas going through something just heart-wrenching, something difficult. Is really the message of Matthew 14 have enough faith to just walk right through it? No, I don't think so. It's keep rowing. It's a message of waiting on the Lord. Listen to just a few passages from David in the Psalms. "You are the God of my salvation. On You I will wait all day long." Psalm 25 and verse 5. "Wait on the Lord and be of good cheer. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 27, 14. "Our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and salvation." Psalm 33 and verse 20. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Psalm 37, 7 through 9. "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? I wait for You. My hope is in You." Psalm 39 and verse 7. "I will wait on the Lord. I will hope in Him." Isaiah 8 and verse 7, Isaiah 8 and verse 17. "The Lord will wait and then be gracious to you. Blessed are those who wait on Him." Isaiah 30 and verse 18. "But those who wait on the Lord," you've heard this text, "those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength," right? "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." Lamentation 3, beginning in verse 22. It's a song that we sing. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will place my hope in Him. The very next verse. For the Lord is good to those who wait on Him. That is the message of all of the prophets. Wait on God. Be patient like a farmer, James said, and wait on God. We as Christians eagerly wait for the appearing, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think Jesus is making the same point in this text. You don't need to walk on water. The emphasis is never on your faith. It is not your faith that will get you through anything. It is Jesus who will get you through the troubles. It is Jesus who calms the storm, not Peter's faith. And so, Jesus is greater than the storm that you and I are in, even right now. I was talking to the brother before service. We were talking about songs, and he said he led Love Lifted Me just recently. But that is just such a beautiful song, too, because Peter, he did get out of the boat. That's the beautiful part of the story. A man who was weak in faith gets out of the boat, and he starts to sink. And Jesus does rescue him. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. I like the bass part. Love lifted even me. Where are you at with your faith right now? I want to just mention one brief text before we bring this lesson to a close. Do you remember the man who came to Jesus, and many of them did, asking him to heal them or their children? But this man asked Jesus to heal his daughter, and Jesus said, if you have faith, if you believe, she will be made well. And the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That is such a powerful thing for him to say, at least to me, because I believe. I believe in God. You believe in God. You're here. We believe that God is good. We believe that God is gracious. We believe that God blesses, that He heals, that He protects. We believe all of these wonderful things about God. Do you believe I can heal your daughter? Lord, I believe. I'm here asking you because I believe in you. But I'm just not sure something good's gonna happen to me. I've seen you do wonderful things for other people, Father. I've seen you bless and take care of other people. Can something good happen to me? Help thou my unbelief. We all struggle. These men followed Jesus. They've been with Jesus for a long time now, and even they're still terrified on that boat in the middle of the sea. And you can be a Christian for 50 years, and something will come into your life that will really rattle your faith and make you question, is my belief real? Is my faith in God real? Can God really get me through this? I believe. Lord, help thou my unbelief. I love Matthew 14 because I don't believe Jesus is teaching in this text that we all are just going to be able to walk on water and escape our problems. I believe Jesus is telling us to get in the boat, stay in the boat, and to keep rowing and to wait on the Lord. It is I. Do not be afraid. One of the last things Jesus said, one of the last promises He gave, recorded at the end of Matthew in chapter 28. After giving that great commission, he says, "And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." So the message this morning for every Christian here today is that God is with us. The Lord is with us. Just because the boat is rocking and you're tired and it's dark and you're starting to think weird things you don't normally think, do not let that rattle. Just because the lights go off, do not forget what you saw when the lights were on. When you were thinking clearly, when your faith was strong, because the lights do go out in life. They go out and you're sitting in a funeral, or you're sitting at home without a job, or you're sitting at the bedside of someone at the hospital, and the lights are dark, and where is God? God is always there. That's the message of Matthew 15. Just keep rowing. It is I, do not be afraid. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, our encouragement to everyone is to follow the Lord. That there is no one who can lead you through these dark times in life. There's no one in this world that even cares to help you in your dark times in life. But God does. Jesus does. And His people, the church, do. And we gather every Sunday to encourage each other, to open our Bibles and say, "Wow, God really does love me. He really does care for even me." So if you're sinking deep in sin and you're far away from that peaceful shore, there is a hand outstretched willing to pull you out of the enslavement of sin. And it is Jesus who died for our sins. It is Jesus who gave Himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. If you want to rid yourself of sin and its effects, that it's separated you from God, it can free you from the guilt that you feel. It will give you hope. It will give you peace of mind. And so we invite you, as Jesus Himself and all of His disciples did, you read about it in the book of Acts, invite people to follow the Lord, to repent of their sins, and to be baptized for the remission of those sins, to raise up and walk in a new life. As we sing the song of invitation, if there's anything the church can do for you, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?